Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letizia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letizia, and he's done it! Lambert! Here to reply! Barry of the Haas! History made!
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belter!
Man, they've been a hat-trick!
Lifts it, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Militant. Find me on Twitter, at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network, and this is episode 203. Today we chat over Saints 2-1 win at Home Park, and we'll prepare to host Queen's Park Rangers next Saturday. Joining me is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton and Tim Bazance. Good afternoon, fellas. Oh, actually, good morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning and happy birthday.
Yeah,
thank
happy birthday,
you very
Tim.
Much. What a nice birthday gift that Che Adams was able to provide.
Yeah, a nice present for you.
Yes, indeed.
I just want to say as well, bad luck to the Lionesses. I don't know if you guys had watched it, but
yeah,
just lost the World Cup final to Spain. Yeah, unlucky. They just weren't good enough, were they?
Keeper, his name Mary Earps. Yeah, she had a fantastic thing, unfortunately, to lose.
She had a good tournament, didn't she?
Yeah, Spain did pretty well. I think their possession-based style that is traditional of Spain did England in there, and they couldn't counter it overall.
The goal, though, it was a bit of an error from Lucy Bronze. They got what we deserve. But yeah, they played well, didn't they? It's just not well enough. Tell you who else is playing quite well, Saints. It seems to be a good start under Russell Martin. The late show on Saturday. Che Adams to the rescue. Right place, right time again. Keeping up his record of scoring in every league game this season. That's 3-3, just like Adam Armstrong. Probably deserved the points on the balance of play. But yeah, it was a tough day in Devon, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't think it was going to be easy, but yeah, you would have thought that we would be the better side. Didn't keep a clean sheet again. That's becoming a recurring theme, isn't it? Took the lead and couldn't keep it again. So it seems to be a bit of a recurring theme. And yeah, again, last minute heroics from Che Adams. Again, seems to be a bit of a theme.
Yeah, I could see a theme going there. But the one thing that we did seem to break was we didn't concede from a set piece. So that was always good.
Actually scored from one.
We did, yeah. Yeah, makes a change. Tim, that's three games into the new campaign, if you don't include the Carabao Cup, sorry. That's 1-2, drawn one, remain undefeated on 7 points. Top of the league for a short amount of time as well. But I don't know, the pessimist in me says, you know, the two teams that we played out of the three were in League One last season. But then again, you and Ipswich are top of the table and they've had 3 wins from 3. So it doesn't really matter. And you only play who's in front of you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we knew with the season coming in, August was a time to build out the framework for Russell Martin's system. And I think that it's coming into its own. I think that we will have great games where we're going to be completely dominant against mid-table or even upper-table teams. And then we're going to have stinkers of game two where we're just not going to be able to break down their lines because they're going to be full stop, you know, park the bus and just don't want to have to deal with our ridiculous amount of passing. So to me, coming in, especially if we get a QPR win, that means we've had, we've taken all but 2 points, set the foundation for what is going to be an atrocious September lineup of 5 games in a row. Overall, if things aren't necessarily gelling right away, we're scraping by the points when that's how winning teams do it. And
exactly,
that's how teams are going to push for the promotion. You need to get the points. You don't want to give them up. So, you know, we made a draw into a win twice. We made, a loss go into a draw. And keep pushing on because that's what you really, really we need.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. But yeah, I mean, it was a very good win at the Def anyway, and we did have to work hard for it. And personally, I've taken away some new respect for Steve Schumacher and Argyle and what they've achieved in recent seasons. So they've done well. It was quite an open game. It was quite entertaining as well. So yeah, it was definitely great to come away with the 3 points. But a draw wouldn't have been such a bad thing, I think, like, especially playing there. They've seemed to be quite formidable at Home Park. But before we get into the news, I just want to say if anyone's interested in joining our Discord, then yeah, just get in touch. I can join in with all our in-game discussions, post-game, pre-game, our predictions league, fantasy football, fantasy championship. You can do all that. It's all fun. It's completely free still. So if you want to join, then just get in touch and we'll get you in there. And also, if you're enjoying the show, then show your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/innumber. Okay, right. ITN news then, chaps.
This is ITN In That Number news.
Okay, ITN news. Right, we'll start with... I don't want to go into James Ward-Prowse anymore unless you wanted to read his goodbye message, Kev.
No, I don't want tears. I don't want tears on my birthday.
Okay, no, we won't. It's been done. We spoke about James Ward-Prowse last week, and we put that to bed. We move on.
We've been expecting it for so long. It's over now. We just need to kind of try to move on.
Yeah.
Difficult as it may be. Does leave a big hole in the team, but new era.
New era, and Shea Charles is filling in quite nicely, small bone too. So, yeah, let's bring in some more players as well by the end of the window. But, yeah, another one has gone, and another one that we expected. Lavier, he did decide on Chelsea in the end. That's, yeah, what we expected, £58 million. Signed a seven-year deal. Who signs a seven-year deal these days? But I guess, you know.
Chelsea... spent about £1 billion on transfers in just over a year. It's just their way of trying to get around financial fair play.
But as a business, though, this is fantastic, isn't it? Because it just like the Tino deal.
Yeah.
But then again, just like Tino, we're losing a key player, but
Well, I mean, unlike Prowsey and Tino, we managed to get a bidding war going. I mean, Liverpool were fucking about with 40-something million offers when they knew we quite clearly stated 50 and he's yours. And then Chelsea come in and steal the show. I'm kind of a bit disappointed for him because I think Liverpool would have been a better move. I think he would have seen more playing time because Liverpool have got quite a some shortage of midfield players, and Chelsea have got a surfeit. I mean, they've just spent how much? Like 200-300 million or something ridiculous.
We touched on that last week, didn't we? It would probably be a better move if he went to Liverpool, but obviously chose Chelsea. And actually on that, Tim, I'm looking at Chelsea's midfield, and it looks like that new midfield for Chelsea will be Enzo Fernandez, Moises Caicedo and Lavia. Do you expect them all to play as a three? Because that's pretty much what Chelsea fans are expecting at the moment.
So it's a little tough because I feel like Enzo has more of an eight. Caicedo is definitely more of that six, and Lavia is a six. So to me, I think in a double pivot where you're playing a more defensive structure and you're playing against a team like Liverpool that they did last week, that might be a great setup for them if they want to throw, you know, if they want to throw that double pivot in. But to me, I think that Nkunku is going to be playing that 10 role. You're going to see Caicedo play the 6, and you're going to see Enzo Fernandez play the 8. And I think that's going to be their primary lineup. And then Lavia is going to rotate in based on injury and playing, you know, who they're playing. So I think he'll get a decent amount of playing time. I think he'll probably feature in, if he no injuries, obviously. I think he'll be able to feature in 20, 25 games this season. And he secured himself a financial windfall because at seven years, he's guaranteed so much money that if he ends up getting injured or he ends up being terrible, he's locked in for this rate for a long period of time. So that's the choice that people are the kids are making at Chelsea. So it could be completely, it could be completely fantastic for them if many of them turn out successful. Whereas if many of them are absolute crap, they're stuck with terrible contracts for a long period of time that amortization is going to catch up with them over eventually.
Yeah, and it says something, doesn't it? When a team spends £58 million on a player, then you don't actually know if he's going to start a game. But yeah, I hope he does get enough game time. Like I say, I think he probably would have started every single game for Liverpool if he was fit. I don't think that's going to happen at Chelsea. But yeah, like Tim said, I still think he's going to get a good amount of games, like 75% if he's fit. He obviously felt that was a good move for him. Maybe it was a geography thing as well, Kev. I mean, maybe moving to London rather than going up north. I don't know.
I wouldn't imagine it would make a huge amount of difference.
Anyway, the fans forum was on in the week. Did you guys watch? Did you listen or anything?
Yeah, I listened to it.
Yeah, yep, definitely listened to it.
Excellent. And what did you take away from it? Was there anything interesting that you thought, Kev?
I think, the big headline is the way that he backed Bazunu, Martin backs Baza. So there was a question about reinforcing the spine of the team.
With height, or is that a different question? Because I saw that one.
That was a separate question, I think. I think he was just talking about getting a central defender in, central midfielder, goalkeeper, that sort of thing. And straight away, he was just kind of a bit antagonistic. It's like, well, yeah, I don't think we need it. We definitely don't need a new goalkeeper. We've got our number one keeper, Bazunu, he's doing a great job. And the whole crowd's got sort of claps. I was really surprised because, it's quite a lot of the time the fans get on his back. Us included, to be fair.
He pretty much said that he's aware of the what the speculation of him is, which is nice.
Yeah.
He knows that there's a lot of pressure on him and he's just got to manage that now, I guess. But
there is that narrative and he doesn't follow it. So I suppose we've got to go and back the manager now and just, admit that, Bazunu's going to be a number one keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to live with it.
Yeah. And he looks like a confident lad. He seems really, really confident and really happy in training and stuff.
I suppose it's maybe, in the back of your mind coming out of that and going to this match and seeing the way he performs, will that give him a bit more confidence? I suppose it would, he can't ignore that. And maybe he wasn't sure, you know, new goalkeeper's coming in, maybe possibly Maka going, so it would be someone to replace him. Is he going to be someone who's going to be potentially seen as number one, or, you know, is his spot under threat or not? But he looked very confident listening.
I think that's what he needs. He needs a manager like Russell Martin now, especially after the season that he's had, for someone to come up and back him like that and start him every single game and say, look, this is you're our number one, you're the future of this team. And that's, we're not going away from that. Tim, did you take anything away from the forum?
Yeah, there's two things that I can take away from. One being they're very open and honest about things, which was kind of nice. And there was a decent amount of transparency with, especially when the guy asked a question about the Lavia bid. Yep, we accepted, you know, we accepted an offer from Liverpool. We accepted, you know, we're accepted an offer with Chelsea, and we're negotiating with him right now. I was like, wow, just completely just nip every other question, you know, potential question that can stem from it in the bud.
And so, I suppose that was all out in the open, though, before the fans forum, wasn't it? That was all in the news.
The Flynn Downs one got me, where I was just like, yeah, stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's coming.
Yeah, and he said about, you know, the medical hasn't happened because he's been ill this week, which will be. And he said also said it will be done this week. It does seem, Tim, that it's quite, yeah, an honest and easy questions to deal with. Just, yeah, move on, next one, and honest opinions. No, I mean, if you look back to what Sport Republic's one was like, goodness me, they went trying to defend Nathan Jones and defend all the decisions that they've made over the past year. That was it was quite a nasty listen, but this one seems much better.
It was a good decision not to bring back Rasmus Ankersen for this.
Yeah, definitely. Because I don't think Russell Martin would have got any questions at him.
The second thing I took away from it was you can take Russell Martin, you can take any manager, and you put him in a press room where they're expecting questions and really probably have a 90% understanding of what's going to be asked of them. Whereas at the fan forum, there could be a little few things here and there that they wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't get from the media. And the direct question of how do you think our goalkeepers are looking, that wouldn't be a direct question that the media would ask. They'd ask in it more of a broad sense. And he went up and stepped up and said, yeah, this is what our goalkeeper situation is. And to me, I think his overall, though, Russell Martin's charisma was... He's a smooth operator.
Yeah, he's very likable, isn't he? I don't think there's been a fan that has anything to criticise him on just yet. Not just performances on the field. I just mean in general the way that he conducts himself to the media and everything. Everyone seems to be riding along with him.
He's quite humble, isn't he? He's refreshingly kind of after Nathan Jones, very refreshingly humble and his self-deprecating humour. Saying about his big nose or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a bit.
Oh, yeah, he said about the mic, didn't he? He said he can't get too close to the mic because his nose is going to hit it and or something, yeah. Yeah,
big nose.
That's Monty Python, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of weird questions, as there always is.
The stewards.
The one from the disabled fan, I think that was a reasonable gripe.
It is though, because where I sit,
yes,
on the corner is where they always warm up.
I've been there as well, yeah.
The stewards do have conversations right in the middle of play when they're just coming down. They do a changeover, but this guy asked, can they not do a changeover when there's a breakout or something's happening on the field. Yeah. But to be fair to the stewards, they're not supposed to be watching the game to be able to know when that's happening. And they're not going to time it like that, really, are they? But they do get away. I get what he means.
They've got a supervisor who'll know and can probably signal, do it now.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, I think that, these, and this is the place, this is the forum for those kind of things that the people running the club wouldn't necessarily notice. Because they're not sat everywhere in the stadium. They don't know what the fan experience is. So I think that is legitimate. But I didn't actually hear it on when I was listening to it, but I saw people on Twitter afterwards moaning about somebody asking a question about the swearing.
Oh, I didn't even see that or hear that. Whatever.
I didn't hear that. But I heard the one about can we welcome the away fans?
No.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
What do you want to welcome them for? You want to roll out a red carpet? No. It's supposed to be a fortress. You're supposed to make it uncomfortable for them and the fans.
Yeah, I mean, you make it comfortable enough for them as it is, like sticking them right there in the northern behind the goal.
Exactly.
Giving them a whole half to cheer their team on, you know. No, not sticking up in the gods like some places do.
Yeah, Newcastle.
Although, you know, I would say Brighton did, you know, as an away fan experience, it did seem, it's like it's got the impression that it was like run by Southampton, like because the catering seemed to be identical to St Mary's. There were signs saying, thank you for travelling X number of miles, which I think that was part of the question, wasn't it? Can we be doing that? How does he know?
I don't know.
Does he pick up complaints from the away fans themselves? Does he go up and interview them? What do you think about the away experience?
Maybe he does. Or maybe he's just a travelling person that just goes to every single ground and tries.
Yeah, but how does he know what it's like at St Mary's? You know, it's the one away end that I'm never going to go to. I don't care what it's like.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Interesting that you took that away from it, Kev. But yeah.
But yeah, no, it's always fun to have a laugh about it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I didn't know about it, so yeah. Moving on then, unless you've got anything else to say about the forum, guys. Two more games selected for TV coverage, and they've been moved to an earlier kickoff as a consequence. Our home game against Leeds on the 30th of September has now been pushed to a 2:30 kickoff, and then 3 days later at Stoke on the 3rd of October is now an 8 o'clock kickoff. So, yeah. Will Smallbone, injury update. This is weird because I'm getting mixed signals here from Russell Martin, because he said after the Norwich game, if you remember, he took a whack on the ankle, that it's going to be months rather than weeks. So he's missed training all week and the Plymouth trip, obviously. But then he said that he's not concerned and he's taking it day by day and it's coming along nicely. So that sounds to me that it will in fact be weeks rather than months. And I don't know if this is just a ploy to deter any potential buyers, because he's confirmed there has been a bid from Sheffield United already. He's only got one year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's had a bid from Sheffield United for him, and he's only got 1 year left on his current deal. But I mean, there is plans to give him a new one. But I don't know. I'm just getting. Tim, did you get anything from his injury? Because he did say at first it was going to be months. Now it just seems like it's progressing nicely, and he's not concerned about it. I can't see it being months. Potentially, we're looking at. Well, months from now, you're looking at November. I can't see it being that long, really, surely.
So my interpretation of it is he recognized that there was a severity of the injury. It was pretty severe in that we got rolled up on. It could be ligaments. It could be a number of different things. And they don't want to obviously tell all the details associated with it. Whereas what I feel he feels confident in is that he continually progressed in his recovery within that first week. Which shows that if he had a significant injury that wouldn't be able to be recovered except for a surgery or a long stay out, that would be the troublesome where it's the months. Whereas if he felt there was progression and a little bit of strength here and there, even if it's a small bit, that's where the weeks comes back into play. So for and against, you really don't know. But I think that he feels that the recovery period is there is a continual recovery, therefore it's better than he feels it could have been.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get the sense that there's any surgery or if there's any roll on it. I think it was just a heavy whack and it's just a heavy bruising possibly, and obviously you need to support your weight on the ankle and all that, so I'm guessing it's just that's why he was saying day by day. But yeah, no news on any surgery or anything, but then again, if there was, I don't think he'd be saying it at this point. So yeah. Kevin Theo Walcott, he's retired from football at the age of 34.
Yeah.
Bit of a shock.
I thought that he might have, you know, a last move to the MLS or something like that in him, but apparently not.
Or Saudi.
Oh, God, do you think he's the type to go to Saudi?
No.
I don't think he is.
No, but again, I still think, yeah, he's got a couple more years. He could be playing championship football still. I still think there was a role for him at Southampton, if I'm being honest, but obviously not choosing to renew his stay and letting him go. Maybe he was waiting to see if there was a club that came in for him, and if there isn't, then he'll make a decision then, because he never announced it straight away, did he?
It's a bit early, yeah. Isn't the transfer window for the MLS still open?
Yeah, transfer window's still open over here as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's the kind of move. He's not going to get to a Premier League team. I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I don't think the Championship is able to accommodate any team, and the Championship is able to accommodate his wages. So it would have been that kind of move, you know, West Ham, Turkey, maybe the United States, but maybe he just doesn't fancy it, or he's got plans for something else. Media, coaching, who knows?
Hopefully. We haven't seen the last of him. Hopefully he does something.
Oh, definitely not. No,
around the city.
He's a clever lad. He's a big name, and he's quite eloquent. So, you know, I think whatever he does decide to do, he'll be successful.
Yeah. Transfer news then. This is quite interesting, actually. Quite nice. It's good to hear. One thing that Russell Martin has said.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. In the week, he's hoping for more than one or two signings, which is excellent, really, because I mean, he's not including Flynn Downs in that, because, as he said, he's going to complete a season-long loan deal in the week. But there has been some rumours of incomings also, mostly at centre-back, really. I mean, there's been Zach Viner at Bristol City. There's Mason Holgate from Everton. That was a loan. There's Taylor, Howard Bellis from Man City. Yeah, that Howard Bellis one, it seems like that would be quite a good fit for Saints. I mean, he spent last year on loan at Burnley.
So Burnley, yes, right.
And again, he seems like the perfect fit for us, because we're light at centre-back. He's young. He plays for Man City, and most importantly, he has a double-barreled surname. So
yeah, THB.
Yeah,
to SFC. Yeah.
So yeah, there's Viner, there's Holgate, there's Howard Bellis, and there's also a 16-year-old goalkeeper that they've got their eye on as well. But Arsenal are also interested in him. Callum McKenna, a goalkeeper from Queen's Park. So yeah, we'll have to track that.
Queen's Park Rangers or Queen's Park in Scotland?
Queen's Park in Scotland. So yeah, there's some that's all I'm hearing on the incomings. Are you guys got any more interesting incomings, centre back or not?
Potential swap deal with Genk for Joseph Paintsil and Paul Onuachu.
Yeah, that was last week, wasn't it? I don't think we
did. We not mention that?
Did not. No.
Okay. Yeah, I think if we get anything from Onuachu, it'd be a bonus.
I'd definitely check that deal.
Just really smart. It's like a kind of constant reminder of that desperate January window, which was so symptomatic of the situation the club was in. But we did another Guido Carrillo.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's, you know, still lingering around the same way that Guido was. He's going to have to go out on loan if we can't get a deal for him, isn't he?
Yeah, just get him out. Just get him out anyway for now. Someone would take him with an option to buy.
I mean, yeah, I would say the same for Aribo and Mara, that I don't really see them as part of Ross Martin's plan. But I mean, well, he brought them on yesterday.
Yeah, he took Joe Armstrong off for Joe Aribo. He does seem to like Joe Aribo. He's played him, he's brought him on, he's been involved quite a lot under him. Mm. So maybe he wants to keep him around. I don't know.
Maybe. What I remember about Onuachu, you went to that open training session, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
I don't know if you saw, I watched some of the video that the media team put out, and Onuachu looked absolutely just completely drained.
Well, yeah, there was an image of him like sat against the advertising.
Yeah, he just collapsed against the advertising hoardings. It was just too much for him.
It didn't even seem that vigorous, to be honest.
Yeah. I got the impression that, and I went to last year's one, that, you know, they took it a little bit easier for the crowd, obviously. It's still too much for Onuachu.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling that they looked at him and saw a Premiership player. Madness.
Not even a championship player, but yeah. Tim, have you heard any more incomings at all before we talk about
The only thing is the Mason Holgate one, but besides that, that's it.
Okay. Outgoing. Oh, sorry, Kev, are you still?
I was just going to say that would be exciting if it did happen.
I take that, yeah, definitely. Yeah, outgoings then. We've had more bids. So this is where it's at the moment. This is what the talk of the club is, apart from, you know, the results. It's all the bids for our top players that are still here. Yes, I say more bids, more turned down. Nathan Teller to Leverkusen and Che Adams to Everton. And something that Russell Martin has said, he's praised them all for, you know, not kicking down the door and, you know, basically downing tools against, you know, all this uncertainty that's over them. But they show up to training and they're putting in the same amount of effort. They're not sulking. They're just getting on with it. And I can see it in the training as well. They genuinely look happy to be here, in spite what Burnley fans are saying about Teller. And, you know, we've seen in the past that players who are subject to bids that don't give the club their everything. You know, I'm
I've
not
seen that recently. I think, you know, Lavia most recently and ADK and Salisu, I think.
Salisu, definitely, all... yeah. Yeah, I don't really want to name any names, but, you know, Lovren.
We just have.
Yeah. Van Dijk, Lallana. I mean, it's yeah. They're all Liverpool ones as well, weren't they? But yeah, it's great to see that at least on a match day, they're not letting it affect them at all. Because, I mean, Stuart Armstrong, Che Adams looks so happy to be here. He's not sulking. I mean, he's doing his interview still. He's getting on with it. Russell Martin's seen that as well. And he's praising his players publicly for it, which is really, really good to see. But yeah, Nathan Teller, Leverkusen, €18 million. That's about £15.5 million. I don't think that's worth it, to be honest. And I get the impression that Jason Wilcox is, although he's not going to say it, Saints are a selling club. And if they get the money for anyone, they're going to let them go. Nathan Teller, Che Adams, whatever. They just think
I
they can just
don't
invest
think
it.
So. I think if Burnley had come in for Teller towards the beginning of the window for £18 million and Teller was up for it, I think that move would have happened. But now that that hasn't, I think he's going to stay put.
Well, the time's running out, isn't it? But I think they've got the money. They can reinvest. And now that Che Adams' £12 million bid from Everton is a ridiculous amount of money, if you ask me, I think he's worth more than that to us.
Yeah, maybe not to them, but he's worth more than that to us.
Yeah, and I don't know. Is it me? Am I reading too much into this, Tim? But is Russell Martin not as keen on Che as we all are? Because, I mean, there was a bid earlier in the window. He later said that if he or Adam Armstrong were to leave, then we just replaced them. Like, you know, yeah, who cares? We just replaced them. He's continued to sit on the bench. Plymouth game was obviously the exception. And now this fresh bid from Everton, and he's admitted that he had expected him to leave, again saying that he'll replace him. Do you get the sense that he's always prepared for his exit and he's just been planning for life without him?
Well, if you're a manager, you need to have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C all the way set up. So I think he's a little more bold than I would have even expected him to be about talking with Che Adams. I think he would have said that, yes, Che's a great player. There's been a lot of interest and we love having him on the team. If he were to leave, well, we would definitely miss him. Like I think that's the maximum he should have said. Whereas he seems to be very businesslike in that it's a business transaction. Ultimately, it's because he has 1 year left on his contract, and whether he wants to stay here or not, Che's not putting up a fight, and he's doing a great job of playing in the team and being, you know, three goals and three, you know, fantastic for him. I think it's all business.
Yeah, and he's not even kicking off the fact that he's on the bench either. You've got a player that is subject to a lot of bids, apparently so. Everton, the latest one. He's been named on the bench quite a few times. Obviously, as I said, the Plymouth one, he wasn't. And he's still getting on and doing it. And he's still not showing any signs of wanting to go, which is really, really good to see. And as we record today, we have 12 days of the summer window remaining. And we still don't know how many more of our top players are going to be leaving and how many are going to be coming in. We still have the likes of like Kyle Walker-Peters, who's definitely Premier League quality. You've got Amal Bellakotchev, who's just disappeared. Nobody knows where he is. Sulemana is still injured, so there's going to be a lot of interest from him, surely. People like Ramon Perro as well, who's on the bench at the moment for Ryan Manning. He's back, but he's not playing. I don't think he's going to be here. And then, you know, is there going to be a higher bid for the likes of Smallbone? I don't know. You have to think that more key players are going to be leaving, right? There's going to be, and the obvious one is Che. But I just think surely he can't go to Everton, because I don't want to jump the gun here, but the teams are likely to cross paths next season. So you cannot imagine that's the right move for him at this time.
I don't think he's going to be the main goal scorer the way that he is here. We have to keep Chaya. Like yesterday showed that he's vital to the success of his team in the Championship. As for the other players, and we're getting to the point where we're seeing the squad is going to be thinning. We're only a couple of injuries away from some problems. So anyone that goes out needs to be replaced. And I think we're running out of time to get replacements in, bearing in mind that the other clubs, if you know we're buying their players, they're going to need to find replacements as well. We're in the middle of that chain. So I don't think we're going to see many outgoings, although, you know, there could be famous last words.
Lianco as well, still not talking about Lianco.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get rid of some of that dross that, we completely forgot about ABK.
I did say him. I did mention him.
No. I mean, just that we'd already sort of, in our back of our minds, already sold him, but he's still here.
He's still hanging around, yeah.
He needs to go. Onu actually needs to be off the books somehow, and yeah, a couple of minutes. Lianco, he's not going to be part of Russell Martin's plans. They took away his shirt number, had that that move to Turkey that didn't quite turn out, didn't quite work out. So yeah,
now he didn't look happy yesterday. No. He didn't look happy when they were celebrating the win coming off the pitch yesterday. He was just walking around on his own and it didn't look like he wanted to be there. So
I do feel sorry for him because I think if he was, you know, promised that he'd have, you know, some game time at least, I think he is quite an easy one to please. But he's got to be maybe back to Brazil or somewhere.
Yeah. Tim, it's the 2nd of September right now. OK, will Che Adams still be a Saint?
Oh, God. Yes, because I'm optimistic.
OK, what about Teller?
Yes. Because I'm optimistic.
What about Walker Peters? Funny thing about Walker Peters is that we've always... I've expected him to leave all the way throughout this window at the end of last season because, like I said, he is a Premier League quality player. But has there been a bid for him? Has anyone actually put a bid in for him? And if they haven't, why haven't they? And surely it's only a matter of time. So, yeah, Walker Peters, is he a Saint on September the 2nd?
Yes, because I'm optimistic.
Kevin, same question.
I think things are quiet for a reason. I don't think that there have been those Premier League teams to come in for him that we expected them to. So
still time.
I think that's it.
Okay, and Che and Teller.
Yeah, also I think it's going to be now. We've got the money that we needed for our star players that have left. We've had that exodus. We need to get a little bit of dross off the books and a couple of those.
I hate the fact that you're calling Lianco dross. Poor man.
I love the guy, but clearly it's not going to work out for him this season. If he doesn't go now, it'll have to be in January, and rather sooner than later, so he can get some game time.
I'm going to be a real downer here. I'm going to say that Che leaves. I'm going to say he's a Premier League player by the end of the window. And I also think Teller will stay, and I also think that Kyle Walker-Peters will be gone. Just my feeling. I think there's going to be a last-minute bid for Kyle Walker-Peters, and someone will have him.
But then we need to spend big money, you know, getting in Joel Peru. That's going to take quite a big fee, isn't it? Talking there. 20 million maybe for him. Yeah, and we'll need another fullback. I mean,
definitely.
Arguably, we need one anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Our backup right back is James Bree, and I don't think he's really got what it takes.
No, he stinks like Bree.
Yeah, I mean, I said it, didn't I? When Nathan Jones left, that he'd never play in Saints shirt again, but you know, he's popped up here and there.
I guess it's because we all figured that he played so well for Luton in the Championship that he would just slot in at Saints, you know, seamlessly there, and it wouldn't be a problem. And when we got relegated, we said even if we do get rid of Kyle Walker-Peters, we've still got Tino, and we've still got James Bray as a backup. Obviously, Tino's gone. Mm-hmm. He might need to be called up again, but yeah. So anyway, moving on from there. By the way, I was looking yesterday at Lyon. I was looking at the French league to see how Lyon were getting, because we've got a couple of ex-Saints there. We've got Chaletsar, who was obviously still a Saints player, but he's on loan with an option to buy. And Maitland-Niles as well. And they got dicked 4-1 at home to Montpellier yesterday. So Yeah, that's two losses from two, and Lyon are rock bottom of Ligue 1. So,
oh, they win the league a couple of seasons.
Yeah, but it's them two. This is why we got relegated. It's them two. It's the bloody double-barreled names. they're bad omens. So yeah, good luck, Lyon. Yeah, under 21s. They played at the Snow Stadium against Aston Villa on Friday night.
You were there, weren't you?
I did go to that one. Yeah, I had the weekend off of work, so I thought I was the first time I'm not going to be able to. I don't have to get up in the morning, so I thought I'd just go up the road and take it in. And a very good game. Yeah, 4-2 win and another hat trick from Don Ballard, Captain Ballard. That's two in a row now, isn't it? Two hat tricks in a row. And he was rewarded with a place on the bench at Home Park. So, yeah. Actually, I joked, didn't I, on the Discord? I don't know if you saw, but when he got taken off at about 60 minutes, I said, maybe they've just said to him, right, off you go, get to Plymouth now. And maybe that actually did happen. I don't know. But
he was in the squad, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on the bench. So it was, yeah, great. By the way, the fourth goal of that game was scored by Tyler Dibling, and it was definitely the best one. It was when it was 3-2, and Aston Villa were pressing, and it was like, oh, this is going to be a draw. But then Tyler Dibling scored a beauty, and yeah. Really good. So if you do get a chance to watch the highlights, check that one out because it was brilliant. And they play Liverpool next on Friday the 25th at Snow Stadium again. And that's 7 o'clock kickoff. The women, two more signings. They've got Atlanta Primus from London City Lionesses. She's a 26-year-old Jamaican forward and she's just returned from the World Cup in Australia. So
she sounds like a transformer.
She does, yeah. And Chelsea forward Emma Thompson. She's apparently a natural goal scorer and she's from the Chelsea Academy. So she's scored a lot of goals down there. So, yeah, that's another welcome addition. They obviously haven't started their season yet. Under-18s, they played yesterday. They lost 2-0 to Aston Villa at Staplewood. OK, right. Plymouth then. Good day out. Yeah, first league meeting since 2010-11 and we won that 3-1. Both games that season actually were won by the away side. We were looking to win back-to-back league wins at Home Park for the first time since 1932. So, yeah, we did that with a 2-1 win, obviously. The starters then, two changes. We've got Gavin Bazunu keeping his place, obviously. Kyle Walker-Peters, Captain Jack, Yanni B, Manning at the back. Charles, Stu, Teller, Adozie, Adam Armstrong and Che Adams. First start for Che. Adam Armstrong kind of slipped deeper back. And Shea Charles replaced the injured Will Smallbone. Pretty decent starting 11, the best he could possibly do with it. You've got to be happy with that, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were not sure what he was going to do, how he was going to correct midfield with our injury problems. So, yeah, that makeshift midfielder, Armstrong, Charles and Armstrong. Yeah, a little bit worrying maybe before the match, but it seemed to work out all right.
I mean, we all know how much work Adam Armstrong puts in.
And oh, for sure.
You said it after the Sheffield Wednesday game that he when he started as a number nine, right in the centre on his own, that he just kind of like drifts deep anyway. He doesn't stay where he is. There's you can get him the balls into the box, but he's obviously been tracking back and doing his defensive duty, so he's not there to stay. So this might.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Might be a good thing moving forward for Adam Armstrong to maybe have that sort of deeper role and then just use Che up top on his own.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that he's flexible like that. And he had a very good game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he certainly did. Tim, were you happy with the lineup? Was there anything you would have liked to have seen different?
Well, the biggest thing that was noticeable was Alcaraz, without any notice, being out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. And so with that, what do you do? We had Smallbone out and we had Alcaraz out. So that's two of our guaranteed starters in the midfield. So you've got Shea Charles, who came up, step in as the sixth, who probably was either going to be a backup or, perennial sub for a bit. Then Stu, throw into the eight, which I don't know if that's his best position. I think he's better on the wing or maybe a little bit forward. And then Adam started dropping back. So I think that's is a makeshift midfield that I felt there was disconnect throughout the game. But to me, I couldn't tell you a better lineup. And the only other player on the bench who slotted in as a center mid is Aribo. And he's got no pace. He might be good on the ball, but he isn't what we needed to start.
No, and that's quite the only other question, I think, especially moving forward now, is Sam Amoamayo. When's he going to get his start? And I think if he does, he's going to have to take the place of Sam Adozie maybe and then slip him over on the left. But I don't think there's any need to change it right now. He's not doing anything terrible, is he, Sam Adozie? So, yeah, I'm quite happy with the lineup. I happen to like Stu Armstrong playing there. I happen to like Adam Armstrong playing there. I think it's pretty decent. I think both of those will give you everything. They would just keep running around, and I think you need that in the engine room, definitely. And Shea Charles, I think he was brilliant against Plymouth. So I think that's going to work out nicely. And it's a 2-1 win, like we say. Nathan Teller opened the scoring, of course. Ryan Hardy, 90 seconds later, and Shea Adams at the back stick to claim the points, took us to the top of the championship for a short time as well. So, yeah, and as I mentioned, Kev, not a set-piece goal conceded. So that was very pleasing. I mean, I don't even know how many corners they had. It must have only been about two or three, but still, whenever they have it, or, you know, deep-line free kicks that just jump into the box, it just makes me almost shit my pants. So that was nice that we didn't concede from that way. But
yeah, they only had the five.
Right, okay, there we go. But yeah, a fairly even match, I thought. Plymouth looked to attack down the flanks, mostly down the left with Mumba. I mean, why wouldn't you? I haven't got the stats in front of me right now, but I think this was the most shots that we faced this season. So I think Schumacher's game plan was to tack down the left and just put on shots outside. Maybe they saw a weakness in Bazunu also. But that's what it looked like they were doing. And we were playing that high line again, which is what we expect now, because Manning and Walker-Peters took up positions in Plymouth's area on average, and Bednarik was the only deep defender that we had. And then if you look at theirs, like by contrast, Manning was higher up the field than Bali Mumba was. It's now usual Russell Martin style. It's patient. You try and keep the ball, try and, you know, make these fast movements and lots of sharp short passing. But I don't know, it just really didn't go anywhere in that first half, did it, Ken?
Not in the first half. It was a bit of a non-starter, wasn't it? Can't remember much. I think Stuart Armstrong, didn't he, took a free kick.
That's, yeah.
Went straight to the keeper. Walker Peters had a dive again. Amazingly, wasn't punished for that. Yeah, Teller had a shot wide.
Yeah, there was a chance on the counter, wasn't it? I think they went forward and Bednarik cuts out a pass and Adozie starts it off and gives it to Che. Che gives it to Teller.
So, yeah, it's a great run from Adozie.
It was, yeah. And then Hazard made the save low down to his left, pushed out for a corner. But, yeah, it was more of a tactical battle, though, Tim, wasn't it, the first half? It wasn't thrilling by any means. But there was enough to keep me interested, I thought. And they actually said after 20 minutes, I think, yeah, Che struggled a bit to get into the game, to get onto the ball. And Sky put up a graphic saying Che's touches, and he had three after 20 minutes. One of them was by the corner flag, and the other two were just outside our own box. So, yeah, it was quite slow to get him the ball.
Yeah, it was us trying to figure it out. So when I was just saying about the midfield, I think that was what was leading to just us trying to figure things out and the lack of development when it comes from the middle third going forward. So to me, it was tactical. It was trying to figure things out, and they didn't make a mistake, which is the biggest thing. While they didn't attack or progress or have, you know, the best final third progression, I think that, you know, holding in and then figuring things out, as we saw quickly go into the second half, was the right play, and Martin made the appropriate moves.
Yeah, it seems like a slow tactical first half, and it changed suddenly. Both teams, actually, they went like kind of almost went to a plan B, which is good, because we started very, very well second half. Obviously, you know, Nathan Teller, 49th minute, gets the goal to go ahead. Adam Armstrong on the run squares it to Teller and he slots it away. This one, Kev, definitely a Teller goal from an Adam Armstrong assist.
Yeah, no disputing this one. Yeah, in dubious goal committee, can I take a rest? Yeah, no, no, Rocket from Teller. And, yeah, again, Adamama making best use of his pace, running through the final thirds, beautifully squared ball. Yeah, it was just perfect counter-attacking goal. Unfortunately, when it gets to the centre circle, we're sort of a bit lazy, maybe still sort of euphoric after the goal, and the Plymouth managed to just quickly go ahead and do exactly the same as we just done.
Yeah, well, I mean that Ryan Hardy in the 50th minute, 90 seconds or so between the goals, and it was just simple cross, simple touch. And but Tim Manning slipped in the build up to their goal. And I'm not sure if Whittaker would have had the speed to get past Manning had he not slipped. I think it just gave him, a right amount of time he made. And I guess the decision was made for him to actually have a go and run down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. So with our very high line, Manny was the only one out there basically in an island. And the pitch, if we saw, I think it was towards the end of the first half, a massive chunk right near the center circle that was completely lift up. And I didn't know if they had sixers or even that's allowed in championship now, where they just had basically the metal studded cleats. Mm. They definitely needed it. And because of the slip, I think it was just more of a better play than us failing in that situation. And yeah, slip is a slip, but you got to be able to counter that. And Shea Charles did his best to try to get over. And it was a really good play by Whittaker, and then eventually the run in for the goal for them.
Yeah, an assist for Whittaker, and I noticed that you got him on your bench in your championship team, Tim. So unlucky.
He'll slot in, by the way, because Alvarez is
right on that. Damn it. Okay. But yeah, there was a booking for Hardy. He had a dive when Bazzini came out. And I'm going to be honest, right? I thought that was a penalty. When I saw that in real time, I thought, oh, Jesus Christ. And I was ready to have a go at Bazzini again, you stupid boy. But no, he nowhere near him.
Gets a hand to the ball as well.
Yeah, very good. So yeah, everything I've said about Bazzini the last couple of weeks, I've had to eat my words. So nothing. He's done nothing wrong again. So I have to say that. But yeah. Booking for him. That was great from the ref because he made that decision straight away. He knew he must have seen that bang on, and he made the decision. Yep, yellow card.
Yeah, it's amazing how eagle-eyed the referees can be when they don't have VAR to fall back on.
They just got to rely on their own sight, yeah.
Actually watch the game.
Yeah. Stu at the bar at one point, which was just outside the box. He curled one, and that got me out of my seat. Something I've noticed as well, like, obviously, you've got no Ward-Prowse. Will Smallbone was on free kicks last week with Ryan Manning. No Smallbone, of course, in this one. So Stu took a free kick, the first one, of course, which we've talked about, went straight down the throat of Hazard. And Adam Armstrong took one and made a great, great shot, but an even better save, Tim. I know you're a goalkeeper. You've got to appreciate that one. That was a brilliant save. Even Che congratulated him on that.
Yeah, I like how Che is I think he's a very nice player, and he does respect the game. And the positioning of his hand itself, I mean, he's going to have the indent of the ball in his forearm after that play. But you're taught to be, you're really taught to be able to keep it, flush with your body if you want to parry it to the left or push it out to the left. But what he did was, because there was so much speed on it, he turned. So if you're sticking your left arm out right to your side, he turned his hand outward. And by doing that, it allowed for the ball to skid up over the goal. And with the speed of the shot is what allowed it to happen. If it was a much softer shot and he did the same thing, it would have likely hit the post and or gone in.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, good save. Really, really good save. Kev, one thing I do like about this season is I don't think I would have liked it last season so much. Is when they put the minutes up for the added on time, and there seems to be a hell of a lot more. I mean, we saw it in the World Cup, Women's World Cup final today, 13 added minutes.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few big stoppages, weren't there?
Yes, sure, I get that. But, when it's filtering down to the Championship as well, they're adding on these minimal stoppages, which is great. And when you're chasing a goal, it's always exciting. And when they put up the the marker for the amount of minutes that were going to be played in this one, I didn't feel worried because I thought, yes, I feel like we can actually go and get this. Last season, of course, I would have been pooing myself because you know the Saints are going to concede in that time. But with the possession style that we play, you know, we're going to keep a lot of the ball. We're going to see, we're going to pass the ball to death at times. There's a good chance that we can create something in these added on times. And it's exactly what's happened. It's happened in every game this season, I believe, hasn't it? Or close to it. I believe that was our eighth corner. And we got one. Adam Armstrong with the header. Hazard makes the save. And Adams again, right place, right time. And that's it. 94th minute. Brief. You knew that was going to be the winner.
Yeah. Last minute, Martin. You love it.
Excellent.
Fair play to Sam Amoemio for winning the corner. Manning, pretty good on set pieces, it turns out. Is it Stevens, Jack fucking Stevens, gets the head to it? And then Adama with the header and go. Somebody takes a touch before Adama gets it. He sort of jumps up and poaches it towards so cool from Adams just to chest it down and tap it in from the shooting out. But I thought he was offside, if I'm being
so did honest. I, so did I. But then again, once the goal was given, you know they're not going to pull it back. So it was just, But I think looking back at it, I don't think it was. I think saw it a couple of times. I thought, I think he's off. But
I think if you look at it from the angle behind him, he looks offside, but if you look at it from the goal side, it's fine.
Yeah, still. Yes, a win. A good win, another good win. 2,000 travelling fans go back home happy, which was good. So, yeah, good day out. As I say, went top of the table for a brief while, but we're now fourth. So that's 7 points, 2 wins, 1 draw, no losses. Scored 8, conceded 6. That's going to have to change, isn't it? Especially at home. We're not going to concede 4 every week, please. Not going to do that next week for sure. Kevin, what interesting stats do you have to share with us today?
Oh, good God. Interestingly, we're used to a really high possession. I mean, obviously, we did pass possession, but it was only 61% this time.
Oh, I see. I've got 62, so you're doing us a disservice there.
Oh, it's there or thereabouts, isn't it? The opposition's really seeing a little bit more of the ball. Yeah, 768 touches. Jack Stevens with the most, 107. Less than 1,000 passes this time. Only 546, of which 482 were completed. Jack Stevens with the best stats there.
I thought you had a good game, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, apart from their goal, Bednarek's closer to Hardy running in. But, yeah, either of them should be making life a little bit more difficult for him. Rather than being able to get on the end of that cross. Like I said, 5 corners for Plymouth, 10 for Saints. What else do we know? Yeah, 15. They had 15 shots to our 19. I think in the first half they even had more shots than us.
Yeah, see, I don't think we've conceded 15 shots in any game this season.
No, but I mean, yeah, only 2 of them were on target. So we were definitely limiting them.
Yeah, see, Adam Armstrong had 2 shots on target on his own.
Teller had 3, apparently.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Saved. But yeah, XG, do you know the XG?
I don't. For Saints, about 1.6.
Tim?
2.3.
Tim wins it. It's 2.1 we had, and QPR had 1.4. QPR,
We haven't played him yet.
It's a prediction. That's what we're doing now. We're doing XG predictions, not goals. But yeah, sorry, Plymouth have got a 1.4. Brilliant. Man of the match then. So, I know Shay Charles got the plaudits from the official man of the match. I'm going to give it again to Adam Armstrong because, I mean, he had the most shots and he had 2 on target. But as I say, Plymouth only managed 2 themselves, so. And I think everyone is really quick to jump on him for a bad game or when he's not scoring. But in my opinion, he's been our best player this season. I think aside from his 3 goals, it's what he's doing off the ball. I think his work rate is literally second to none. His tackling has been on point. I think, you know, he's also got the assist as well for Teller. So, yeah, I just want to cheer him on a little bit more. And, you know, let's all jump on our number nine and say, well done, Adam Armstrong, because I'm going to give him the man of the match.
I was really in two minds, maybe even three minds. I thought, despite slipping up and costing us a goal, I thought, other than that, Manning had a great game. So, yeah, unfortunate for that to happen to him. Bazunu, much, much better. Yeah, really good, especially towards the end.
I mean, he only had two shots to save.
But it seemed a lot more, only a couple of saves towards the end to keep it 2-1. So, yeah, fair play to him. But yeah, I'm going to give it to Adam Armstrong again. And we haven't mentioned it, that last-minute clearance right at the death.
Yes, you won't find that on the stats.
I think that just tipped over the edge for me.
Excellent. Tim, how about you?
So the man of the match that the Sky Sports gave was Shea Charles.
Yeah.
And recognized that there was a lot of touches, a lot of movement. He was all over the place. Yeah, he got a yellow card, and it was kind of silly. But
that was a handball, really... though, wasn't it? That yellow card was a handball that his shirt was being pulled on.
Yes. Yeah, it was a little ridiculous. Hmm. So to me, I mean, that's great. I think he did fantastic after being able to, you know, come into his own. I think he really solidified and he actually progressed throughout the game. But it's got to be Adam Armstrong, because not only did he find the pass to Tella that was similar to how JWP's goal was to Che in the Wednesday game, where they just found that little sneak pass back in after being able to push up. He played out of position, and then he hustled his tail off all game long. So,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a... He's got to be the man of the match, and I like his story. You know, his recovery, he's come back, coming into his own now. I guess the championship is his level.
Mm. And before the goal, it was about what, five or 10 minutes before the goal. I mean, he had an almost identical run up the pitch to the square to Adosie, and Adosie just didn't get on the end of it.
Yes,
that could have been a goal as well.
Yeah, he's everywhere at the moment, isn't he? But yeah, I'm glad you did mention Shea Charles as well. I know he, as I say, got man of the match, but
he was what we were missing against Norwich, because there was such a big gap between the midfield and the defensive line, and he just sort of fills that whole group brilliantly. He has to be part of the midfield from now.
Well, that's just what I was about to say, Kevin. I think I feel really, really comfortable that he's going to slot in. And he can stay there all season. No,
especially with the high line. I mean, he's not so good getting forward.
Don't need him to be, do we?
I mean, that's why he's not great. But yeah,
he can play a centre back as well. He's very, very defensive minded. So I know I would like to see him take a shot every now and then. He didn't have any again today, but it's not his game, is it? Sorry, yesterday. But yeah, I just think he's got all the right credentials to play in this team all season and fill in for Lavia. And yeah, yesterday was great. 100 touches or so, 2 tackles, 4 interceptions, 76 completed passes with an accuracy of 92%. He looks to be a real player. He's going to be a really good player. And Kevin, he's only 19.
Yeah. It's time to Chelsea for 100 million next season.
So I don't know if you've seen this, but we're doing a new player ratings thing. We've teamed up with Pundit Games. So yeah, get involved. And so at the end of the game, I'll post on the socials. Submit your player ratings, and you can give them a little note and whatever, and we can discuss them on the show afterwards. So I've got the results for this game. Okay, so we'll start at the ends then. So on average, this is what everyone's been responding to on their player ratings. So Rebo, unfairly, obviously, at the end, because he only played 15 minutes or so, 5.86. Manning, Kev, you said he had a decent game. Apparently not according to our listeners. He was 6.14, followed by Bednarik at 6.36. Bazunu then was 6.43. Stevens quite low down was 6.50. Amoyamiyar 6.50, although we didn't really come on. I think people are still high, very, very high on him, so they just give him a little bit more than maybe he deserves. Stuart Armstrong 6.7. Kyle Walker-Peters 6.8, along with Adosie, who also had a 6.8. Nathan Teller 7.7. Che Adams, 8.07. Shea Charles, 8.36. And leading the way, Adam Armstrong, 8.43. So a lot of people going for the same as us and not going with Sky. So good on them.
While the team, we have to be more humble about the fact that we scraped away three goals in the last 80-plus, 10-plus minutes of the last. And we got to realize that there's still a lot of work to do. So while we've won twice, drew once against a Norwich team looks really good. We have to stay humble and recognize that we're still building, and scraping away these wins is what's truly necessary to have a promotion push.
I've got another response here saying Plymouth was so very happy with 3 points. A bit lucky, but overall good performance. Adam Armstrong, much more confident after a good start to the season, which is good. Manning, slightly dodgy in defence, but good in attack. Up the Saints. Another one says, our identity is getting stronger with every game. We dominated possession again and showed resilience when conceding so quickly after scoring. We also are showing how to be patient. Stats speak for themselves. We should have scored 2 or 3 if Teller and Stu put their chances all right. Good result in a tough place. Adams is so good when he's onside. Not exactly perfect, but I think the absence of Alcaraz in the middle was a bit bumpy. Adam Armstrong really looks like a great player. His effort is unmatched. He looks to be half decent defender when called upon. Up the Saints. Good to see us with decent possession again and having chances. Loving the championship. And the last one just says decent. So good. Yeah, keep them coming. As I say, we'll put these out after every single game. So give them a match rating. And then you can put a comment down and we'll read it out. So yeah, it's good to hear from you anyway. And Tim, we'll go into this QPR preview then if you are ready for this. QPR next Saturday the 26th of August. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff and it's at St Mary's. Tim, if you start off with their nickname.
I thought that they were just called the Arses.
Tim, take it away.
Oh, thank you very much. So QPR, I think they're just going to call the Rangers.
The Arse.
All right. So last season, they barely scraped by finishing 20th in the league. They had by far the worst second half of the season, and they had quite an amazing first half. And so for the first quarter, they were within the playoff positions with under Michael Beale. And he eventually left to the other Rangers, the Scotland Rangers, and brought in a completely different style and type of manager. And that is Gareth Ainsworth. So ultimately, they limped over the line, got what was necessary, and got a little help from the teams who were, dock points because of financial issues. So a couple of new transfers that they had, they actually didn't pay for any transfers coming into the season. So,
decent business, decent.
Yeah. So, but they have four main stalwarts. I mean, by stalwart is championship players. Or championship level players that they brought in. Asmir Begovic, at 36 years old, is their goalkeeper, who replaced an outgoing signing of Senny Dieng, who was sold to Middlesbrough for, I think it was just over £2 million. So obviously 36 years old, long term. It'll be interesting to see how he does, but he had 9 saves in that first game against Watford. So far he started off pretty well. The remaining 3 signings, Steve Cook and Jack Colback, come from Nottingham Forest. Well, Steve Cook comes from Sheffield United. Mm. And then Morgan Fox, who was their left back that they started in the last 3 games. But another major outgoing was Rob Dickey, a center back who went to Bristol City. And so far this season, they started out and they got spanked 4-0 to Watford. It looked disgusting. It looked terrible. It looked like they're going to basically be set to be relegated. And I think a lot of people are predicting that. But the next week, they nicked a win against Cardiff. That's the joy and the craziness of the championship, albeit Cardiff doesn't look amazing this season. And then they lost to Norwich in the Carabao Cup, and then they lost in the last quarter of the game against Ipswich 1-0 at home. So Ipswich obviously looking pretty good, and we'll be able to talk about them come September. So looking at their manager, Ainsworth, hoofball, the littlest possession to be expected, as we saw from his Wickham team for 10 years. That they don't play to keep the ball. It's in fact they play better without the ball than they do with it. So just this past week against Ipswich, or so yesterday, 62-38 possession against them. Their other games so far this season were 65-35, 68-32, and then the Watford game 71-29, meaning for promotion possession against them. What are they going to look to set up It's a 5-3-2 with a true sweeper. You don't see that too often. And that's Steve. Yeah, they'll have a true sweeper out in Steve Cook. And the only time he'll go up is actually for corner kicks, which, you know, that's going to be their strength under Ainsworth. They want to have direct play. They want to have set pieces. And surprisingly enough, they have three players who are fairly creative. Sinclair Armstrong, Chris Willick, and Ilias Chair. And so what is their weakness? And the formation and the style and the setup that Ainsworth has is not being able to get that much out of the creative players that they have. So I think, you know, there's going to be some disconnect there. And I could see especially potentially Chair leaving in the upcoming window. So let's hope that there is some rumors for transfers to him so he wouldn't play, which would only be a help to us. And so, you know, looking at the key players, Chair is definitely, you know, I think he should be playing for Ipswich Town and not for QPR being the chair boy. Wickham.
Yeah, Wickham are the chair boys. Yeah.
Wickham should be playing for the chair boys. Ipswich are the tractors.
Yeah.
And like I said, Begovic, 36. Ooh. I mean, he's a great, he's a decent shot stopper. You've got Lyndon Dykes, who's a scary, scary man with all his tattoos. And Chris Willick, and then their young player who's scored their goal, has his goal and assist so far, that is Sinclair Armstrong. Look for him to be a complete menace up top and be one of the fastest player that we've played against. So take a look back at his highlights. Yeah. And the only major injury that they have is Jimmy Dunne, who's one of their main center backs. He's been out long, he's going to be out long term with a shoulder injury. No suspensions that had.
They've got a key injury at centre back. Did you say?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
So Jimmy Dunne's going to be out long. Like, he's going to be out long term. A few months. He had some shoulder surgery.
Good. I don't mean that. Yeah. Actually, that's not a nice way to say it. But that's only going to help us shortly. Yeah.
Yeah. So going into the prediction, wow, it's going to be tough because it is completely contrasting styles, and Ainsworth knows how to park the bus, pack the box, and be able to close down those spaces. And you look at Martin's lineup and his setup, it's basically to have these small passes, break through the lines, which they're going to be so compact, it's going to be really, really tough. And knowing how to sit deep, playing without the ball, and then they do have the players like Willick and Sinclair Armstrong, and even if Chair does start, that can break on the counter, and they have that creativity. So with our suicidal high line, I think there's going to be something crazy like 85 to 15% possession. It could be even higher than that. We could even break a record of, you know, how many passes, but it's not going to look good for the prediction. I think they're going to be able to nick one and get one, and it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
No, I wasn't expecting that. Tim, you've kind of turned me, actually. Kev, you're up anyways.
I'm quite confident going to this one. I think we're going to have to see a home win. I still don't believe we can keep a clean sheet. QPR, they've only scored two goals so far, and we've scored about 40 million. So, 3-1 Saints, why not?
Wow, okay. See, now, Tim, I did actually have a 2-0 Saints, thinking that we were going to keep a clean sheet. I think I put 2-1 first, and then I think I changed it to 2-0. So I thought I don't really have anything to worry about with QPR. But did you say they lost 1-0 to Ipswich? It was 1-0, was it?
Yeah, they just lost 1-0.
Yeah. Okay. It was one of those games that if we played them last season, if they were both Premier League teams, obviously, then it would have been 0-0, wouldn't it? It would have had 0-0 written all over it because they would just park the bus and Saints wouldn't be able to break them down. But I don't know. This season, I think I like the idea of dominating someone at 85% possession. We're going to create something, even if it's shots from outside the box. So I do think we're going to win. Dare I say 1-0? No, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say 2-0. I'm going to say 2-0 Saints.
Good for you, son. Mm.
The cliche out there is to, you know, you got to get a goal early to be able to, you know, to break it down. If we get a goal early, they are going to have to open themselves up more to be able to get that second chance or get that potential shots on goal here and there. So if we're able to get one, say, within the first 15-20 minutes, it it can be an absolute fire hose and breakdown for them.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen, because I think our midfield is still an issue where there's disconnect, and it's going to be just like Plymouth, where it took us a few, it took us the entire first half to figure things out.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to be patient, and I think if we need to, we're just going to have to get Kyle Walker-Peters to dive again and try and get a penalty.
He's going to get sent off one of these days.
Yeah, excellent. Right, okay. We'll go on to the Discord then, the predictions that are from the Plymouth game. I thought I did well with my 2-1 Saints prediction. I thought, here we go. But it turns out a lot of you guys went 2-1 as well, and you did, Kev.
Yep.
So, along with Kurt Supple, Dan Fox, Tim Brucker, Sir Tommy Belch, great name, by the way. kindly
is that a Shakespeare character?
I don't know. Well, we're going to have to ask
Sir
him.
Sir Toby Belch, isn't it?
Mm. I don't know. We did Shakespeare last week, but yeah. Was that Midsummer Night's Dream? I don't know.
No, it's another it's a comedy, isn't it? Twelfth Night?
Twelfth Night, okay. Yeah. Rusty. I just Macbeth for me. But yeah. Yeah, and kindly Platypus as well. So well done to everyone there. We've got 2-1s. Tim Brucker continuing his impressive start as well. He got Sheffield Wednesday 2-1 spot on, like me. And we got Plymouth 2-1 spot on, also like me. But he actually predicted a Norwich draw. He obviously didn't go 4-4. That would be crazy. But yeah, he went for a 1-1. So he got points in that one also. So he's top of the league on 12 points. So
keep on brucking, Tim.
Well done, Tim. Yeah. Super 6. Round 2 is still in progress because obviously there's games going on now. Speaking of games going on now, Everton are getting absolutely ripped apart by Aston Villa. Who does that?
That's good.
3-0. So yeah, Everton are definitely going down. Oh, 4-0 now, sorry. Everton are definitely going down. And West Ham have James Ward-Prowse is playing for West Ham against Chelsea, but there's no sign of Lavia, not even on the bench. So I was hoping those two were going to meet up, but no, he's obviously not match fit. Super Six, as I say, still round two still going, but round one was won by Stephen Allen, Dave Jones, not the Dave Jones, and Jason Lewis on 13 points. Fantasy football fellas, how well have you two done this week? I'm sure you're going to tell me how bad I was.
I've got 28 points at the moment. McAllister got sent off. That was nice, giving me negative points. And Mitrovic has fucked off to Saudi Arabia, so he doesn't score me anything.
Has he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No. Ah. Wow. I think he was injured anyway, but yeah.
Wow. Okay, Tim?
I got 32. I've started Yao Pedro, so with him rotated out and only coming in the last 20 minutes, then getting a yellow card on top of it is not going to help. Did not help me out. But I've got four players still remaining, two Chelsea, two Arsenal, Colwill, Gabriel, Saka, and Nicholas Jackson.
Gabriel hasn't been playing so far. He didn't
start, and Durian Timber did, but Durian Timber tore his ACL, so Gabriel's probably just going to slot right back in. So I decided to keep him in my team, and yeah, so Cole, I think Cole, we'll see how it gets on.
Look at the league. I'm right in the doldrums of our partners league. Jamie Allen is top. Your bottom, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I know. I have taken a few penalty points this week with some transfers, and I wanted to go for a different approach this season. As I say, it's not working, so I've made a few transfers. Mm. I pulled the trigger and bought Haaland in like everybody else. So yeah, hopefully I can claw something back. But yeah, as I say, it has cost me some penalty points. I didn't want to.
You haven't missed anything this week with Haaland.
No, I just really suck. I'm no good at fantasy football.
But there are some people who are, and it's, again, it's the same names coming up this season. 137 points for Sheku Dumbia, his Galactic FC. 127 for Dan Buck and his Absolutely Fabregas. And just 1 point behind is Paul Gilliam, the Grand Canarian Saint.
Gaffer, I'm doing actually a little bit better there. I did all right this week, actually. I'm bearing in mind I didn't take part in week one, so I'm clawing my way back up. I've got 75 points this week, so I think that's a league high.
That's good, yeah.
Looking really good there.
Trey Adams is captain, I must admit. Drewsbury. Thomas Asante scored as well. I've got him up front in a front three, so both, two of my three up front scored, so that was nice.
Yeah, I've got Armstrong captain again. He's done well for me so far. Seem to be averaging about 60 points a week, which is, I was top. I don't know if I still am.
Have a look for you, Kev.
Who's top of the league? Yeah, I'm still there.
Still top of the league with 60 points this week. Nice job. Yeah.
Not as good as 74.
Oh no, Mark Kenyon got 78 points this week, so he beat me by three. So.
Hey, you've missed a week, so you've jumped straight in.
I have missed a week. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Only 2 weeks. I'm sick. Brilliant. I'm sick from the league, so it's.
Mark Kenyon had to use a power up to get to 78.
Oh, I see. Well, he parked the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm amazed. Mumba. He's
a defender.
He's a defender in my team. Yeah,
he's a defender in my team as well. I put him in there because I know they use him as a forward. So yeah. he's still a defender prices. So yeah, stick him in. That's I wasn't going to tell you guys that, but yeah.
No, he's fucking mental, isn't he?
You already know.
I told you he's
week one.
He's a Tesco Alphonso Davies.
Yeah, it was always the same. It was always the same with Stuart Dallas at Leeds, wasn't it? They play him as a midfielder, but he's a left back on the game, or a defender on the game rather. So, yeah, that was always a good one to put in. Yeah, okay. So next week we shall talk QPR and Gareth Ainsworth, and yeah, that should be a fun one. And we'll preview our trip up north to the Stadium of Shite to face Sunderland. We also have our first awards of the season to give away, the Gold and Player of the Month for August. So, yeah, look up for that. Again, look out for the player ratings and get involved with that. Get your predictions in on the Discord. And until next week, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the fucking scum.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.